is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think.
Chapter 31. Love is choosing. Knowing that Peerless Cucumber hasn't been kidnapped or possessed or anything really is a weight off Zhang Qinghua's shoulders. He was really worried for a moment there that his fellow transmigrator might have fallen off the mountainside or tripped into a shitty plot device or something. Shit happens to disciples in this proud immortal demon way world sometimes. But the kid is, thankfully, the kid isn't fine. How can any transmigrator really ever be totally fine in a world like this? But maybe Shen Yuan is going to be fine someday. It doesn't seem impossible. Zhang Qinghua only realizes just how much the kid was withdrawing from everything when Lin Wenjiao actually does a double take when she sees Shen Yuan out and about during the day in, day out again. They get to watch a junior Anding peak disciple approach Shen Yuan to start a conversation. And things seem to be good there when Zhang Qinghua and Dumpling Thief have to move on to other business. So Zhang Qinghua really can move on to the thousand other things he has to do. Fuck his life, huh? Wei Qingwei wants some really weird and kind of rare shit from the demon realm for some barrier experiments, most of which require the delicate and authoritative and slightly shady touch that Zhang Qinghua doesn't really trust anyone else to handle. Also, some very literal careful handling is usually required to prevent explosions, implosions, and some real cursed nonsense with this kind of thing. These other Peak Lords really just put in the orders and then expect magic from Anding Peak. Do they think he has a make special items appear button on his desk? They shouldn't get to complain if they find out that Zhang Qinghua is flat out lying to them about how long something will honestly take or how much it will really cost. Sometimes he honestly doesn't know, okay? It can be different every time. Under-promising and over-delivering is a well-known business strategy, so why the surprise? Sometimes demon clans go to war with each other. Black market contacts vanish without leaving even a dust cloud behind them, and there's nothing he can do about it. Zhang Qinghua is honestly considering just asking Mo Bei Jun about some of this. The demon lord is understandably pretty resistant to the idea of working for Changchong Mountain Sect in any way, so he's probably not going to be moved to fetch anything for Wei Qingwei of all people. Now that Zhang Qinghua is reflecting on their history, however, Mo Bei Jun seems to be more than fine with handling some directions or advice whenever Zhang Qinghua asks questions, so it's an option. Anyway, the Lord of Anding Peak's never-ending problems keep Zhang Qinghua busy, busy, and busy over the next week. It's such a shame that he can really only see more and more busyness ahead of him for the next 2 years at minimum. It's just not gonna stop, huh? It's like a looming mountain ahead of him. Or maybe more like a cresting wave. Zhang Qinghua can possibly look forward to telling himself that he just has to get through the next week, every single week between now and the Immortal Alliance conference. At least Bing He seems to be in a better mood these days. Zhang Qinghua is still keeping an eye on his nephew, of course, but that's not the same as actually getting to ruffle his nephew's hair, getting an excellent nephew hug, being able to say something to make his nephew laugh, or getting the opportunity to try and make up for his shitty reassurance when it comes to the mysteries of being a young protagonist. Zhang Qinghua is relieved when they get to speak in person again, and Bing He's smile is wide and happy. They chat for long enough this time that Zhang Qinghua actually gets to say that he misses his nephew, and Bingha easily and earnestly returns the sentiment. These are the rebounding abilities of youth. Nothing can get this still optimistic young protagonist down for very long at this point, right? We should get you off the mountain to visit your mother soon, huh? Bingha hesitates, then sighs as he smiles again.
I like that, Uncle, he says wistfully. I miss Mama. I don't know if Shizun will agree to that anytime soon, though, since his mood is still,
Bingha winces,
not good.
Ha ha, no, Zhang Qinghua agrees knowingly. But if I had to choose between keeping your mother happy and keeping your Shizun happy, we know which one of them really has seniority, right? Your mother hasn't seen you since before the demons attacked, and she's not really going to be happy until she sees you with her own two eyes and hears for herself that you're okay. Uncle will see what he can do.
Thank you, Uncle.
Let me know if, things are getting too bad or if anything happens.
Bingha nods, without even questioning what might get too bad or what might happen that's worth a cry for help.
Then he grins.
I'll let Uncle know to come rescue me when Ning Shijie finally accidentally says a bad word in front of Shizun.
You want me to get in the middle of that? Fine, fine. The things I do for my favorite nephew.
Zhang Qinghua cries, ruffling Bingha's hair again.
Tell your mother to send her husband to rescue me after you get away, at least. Or avenge me. If I'm going down, I'm taking everyone with me.
Bingha laughs.
It's a few days later that Luo Fanli returns from her short mission away with some Baichan Peak cultivators and finally drops by Anding Peak for long enough for Zhang Qinghua to catch her. Luo Fanli confirms on her end that she and Shen Yuan have talked about his attempt at seclusion and that it went well. She's totally unimpressed to be even lightly scolded for telling Shen Yuan what Zhang Qinghua said about him not having friends.
I was only telling him not to push away the friends he has, she says.
Sure, that's a good point, Zhang Qinghua agrees. Just be more careful about how you repeat things like that, okay? Especially the things I say.
Aha, I'll take you rolling your eyes at me as an okay here.
Okay, Daga. Great, how was your mission?
Zhang Qinghua and Luo Fanli chat about what she's been up to lately. It's nothing out of the ordinary. Missions, training, lessons, senior disciple duties given to her by Qi Qingqi, hanging out with Liu Mingyan and her friends, sparring with Liu Qingge and some Baichan Peak cultivators, and occasionally dropping by Qingqing Peak to bother Bingha or dropping by Anding Peak to be friendly with Zhang Qinghua's personal disciples.
Thinking about visiting her sister sometimes, she admits.
Liu Qingge apparently told her to keep an eye out for demons and demonic retribution after her fight with Xia Hualing, but Luo Fanli says that she hasn't seen anything weird yet.
I had a funny dream last week. The week before that, maybe, though, with demons.
Zhang Qinghua pauses in what he was writing.
What?
Bingha was there.
What?
I dreamed about Bingha, too, Luo Fanli says, making a face. About Jia Jia, too. And you were there for a little bit. It was me and Bingha in a world that was like some illusion. I woke up before it went anywhere, though.
Ah, did you talk to Bingha about it?
Zhang Qinghua asks.
Yeah, but he said he didn't know what I was talking about. Mingyan said it sounded like it might be something, but she also said it could just be a dream.
Unhelpful.
Why? Daga, what do you think it means?
How would I know? It wasn't my dream,
Zhang Qinghua says quickly.
Aha, weird dreams can mean a lot of things, mostly to do with dream demons or prophetic dreams, which can happen for all kinds of weird reasons. So maybe it's time to do some reading on the subject?
Ugh. It could just be a dream, though. Ugh. A little reading won't kill you,
Zhang Qinghua insists.
It's just when a person reads Proud Immortal Demon Way or anti-fan reviews of Proud Immortal Demon Way that bad things like transmigration happen, apparently.
It's good for you. Liu Fanli looks about as unenthusiastic at the prospect of research as Zhang Qinghua was expecting, and maybe hoping. He'll dig up and direct her to some resources later when the timing is a little less suspicious. He can do that. He's been preparing as best he can, which has given him the powerful desire to go back and strangle that bastard airplane shooting towards the sky for probably writing a sentence like, "Information on and understanding of dream demons is very rare." Firstly, however, he has to reconcile the fact that Luo Bingha knows he's a half-demon now. Secondly, Zhang Qinghua has to deal with the fact that a few days ago, he couldn't tell anything was wrong when his nephew smiled at him. Shit. Zhang Qinghua was kind of expecting that the elder dream demon would still go for Ning Yingying as Luo Bingha's dream companion, because that's what happened in Proud Immortal Demon Way. She's right there in Qingjing Peak with him and everything. But his nephew has more people in his life than Ning Yingying in this world, so that was a stupid fucking assumption to make. His mistake. Zhang Qinghua's leisure house has all sorts of protections, including some which supposedly work against dream demons. For all he knows, however, these are protections he, as airplane, could have declared were only there to make people feel better and don't actually work. Or he once declared that the elder dream demon was too powerful for such petty wards. Nevertheless, Zhang Qinghua applied these protections to his sister-in-law's house years ago, and Liu Qingge has taken over their maintenance now that he lives there most of the time, like a good husband. If Zhang Qinghua was a dream demon, even an ancient and powerful one, he wouldn't want to bring a peak lord onto the scene. Even if he was a dream demon hoping to manipulate a vulnerable young half-demon, he definitely wouldn't want to bring someone as reassuring and willful as Luo Jiahui onto the scene either. So, Fun Li. The elder dream demon went for Fun Li instead. Okay. The system even confirms it when he asks. Mission complete. The dream demon.
He even got points for it at some point? When did he get points for not interfering with this canon plot point? When he was sleeping? Also, what an asshole. Why does Zhang Qinghua even have to ask for this confirmation of a plot point? He should just be told. Zhang Qinghua now has to figure out how to say, "Hey, nephew of mine, I know that you know that you're a half-demon now. Let's talk about it." He's been thinking about it for a long time now, but it's one of those things that never really sounds right no matter how a person says it. He's always hoped that Bingha would be the one to start the conversation here, so he doesn't have to do it himself. Luo Bingha knows. He knows, he knows, he knows. And Zhang Qinghua didn't notice. Why did he think that he would somehow be able to see his nephew finally knowing? Like hundreds, like thousands of fools he wrote before him, he fell for those big protagonist eyes, all in the hope that things could continue as normal for just a little longer, as his nephew fed him an old joke and a smile to make him look the other way. It's not as if his nephew has never done this before. Luo Bingha has lied to him before, sure, so convincingly that Zhang Qinghua bought it completely even. But mostly for jokes that were revealed only a few minutes later, right? Not important things. Luo Bingha knows that he's part demon. He knows. Zhang Qinghua feels like he should leap into action after he sees his little sister-in-law out and start running somewhere. His feet are itching to pace and his fingers can't seem to hold his writing utensils entirely steady.
His tongue feels thick and heavy in his mouth, weighing down his jaw. His heart has been hollowed out, and now it's bouncing against his ribs like a bird in a cage, all brittle bones and fluttering wings.
Fuck. Bingha knows.
Xiang Qinghua can't just go running off to Qingjing Peak for no reason.
Well, he could do that, actually. He can say that Fan Li mentioned a strange dream and that it worried him so much that he had to rush over immediately.
But then what? If his nephew pretends nothing is wrong, what if his nephew asks him how he knew it was really a dream demon and sees that his uncle knows he's a half-demon? What if Shen Qingchu sees any of this and demands answers?
No.
No, Xiang Qinghua has to be careful about this.
Which is why he goes back to his desk and pretends to go back to work. He even manages to do a little work, in between pretending to work, though it's not anything to write the disciples or his martial siblings about. It takes him over an hour to read through one page at one point. He manages to move some papers from one side of his desk to the other over the course of the afternoon. That's something, right? He picks up a summary of Qingjing Peak orders this month, which he's ideally supposed to sign off on today, and all he can think about is his nephew, smiling at him like there's nothing wrong in the world. So Xiang Qinghua takes off from his office early. He's the lord of Anding Peak. He can make Qingjing Peak wait on him sometimes if he's not feeling it right. He can let the consequences of that fall on that unlucky fool future Xiang Qinghua. When Lin Wenjiao gives him a weird look, he cites what a beautiful day it is outside, a great time for a walk and maybe even some meditation. And that just makes her give him an even weirder look. It's, really not his best excuse for sure.
Shifu sure can pick them, she mutters, but lets him go. Xiang Qinghua assumes that his head disciple will pick up the slack and or forge his signature accordingly. He spends the rest of the afternoon in a daze and ends up in the meditation pavilion, attached to his leisure house, lounging around like he likes to joke that the other peak lords probably spend the whole day doing, until he can't take another fucking second of not pacing in circles. He never uses this place for actual meditation, so no one comes looking for him here. Not until he hears his next appointment's particular knock on the door to the house he's not occupying at the moment.
Ah, fuck right, Xiang Qinghua thinks. Cucumber bro.
The first thing his fellow transmigrator says to him is, I had an idea.
Oh no, isn't that dangerous?
Xiang Qinghua comments, which gets him an annoyed look. He lets Xin Yuan into his leisure house and follows as the kid makes straight for the secret basement room.
What's your idea, bro? Do I get to know the idea, or are you just letting me know that you have one?
I was training, practicing some spiritual sensing techniques with another cultivator, which are meant to help compensate for not being able to see well, Xin Yuan explains, since I don't have my glasses anymore, and anyway, for the eye to speak at all, you need to be touching it, and you, or it, need to see another person.
Okay, I'm following,
Xiang Qinghua says as he opens the secret basement.
But how does the eye see?
Through us somehow, right? Since it uses spiritual energy? They climb down into the secret basement. Xiang Qinghua has very, very carefully moved most of the broken future-seeing junk off to the sides and out of the way. He's brought in a better, brighter, and altogether less creepy light. He covered that horrible fucking mirror with an opaque cloth and put up a very cursed, do not touch, this means you sign to make himself feel better, too. And also to remind Peerless Cucumber not to get handsy or anything. Thankfully, ever since hearing there's a murderous, proud immortal demon Wei protagonist on the other side, Xin Yuan always skirts around that mirror like he wants nothing to do with it, ever.
Go back up, Xin Yuan says.
What? Xin Yuan looks at him like he's being slow on purpose.
his hand hovering over the small golden orb. We have to test if I need to be able to see you with my own eyes to make the eye speak, or if I can focus on your spiritual energy, or if it's just a radius thing and it's not seeing through us at all.
Ah, all right. You couldn't have said this before I climbed down here.
Zhang Chenghua climbs back up to indulge the kid, pacing around his leisure house on silent feet, until he hears a crow of, "It works!" from the other room. He takes that as his permission to hop down into the secret basement again. Fuck, his fellow transmigrator is still holding the Weeper's eye and is now giving him a concerned look. Zhang Chenghua almost doesn't want to know what it said now.
Bro, put it down.
Xin Yuan hurries to put the strange artifact back in its bowl. You don't need to be seeing the other person for the eye to work, he reports. I was wondering when you said that that first Huanhua Palace master went to go hide in an abyss, almost like the Eternal Abyss. Why an abyss? Why not just a regular cave or on top of a mountain? But the man made an enemy of someone who had this? Something that seems made to find things out? Then maybe he couldn't hide anywhere else.
Ah, that's pretty clever.
Xun Yuan nods. It's not much. It's a simple observation, really, he insists modestly. I still don't know how to really activate it or anything. But now that we can be sure enough that the eye works on sensing rather than just seeing, or that it can see through walls or something, it could still be a radius for all we know.
It's a step forward. Good thinking. Good job, bro.
Zhang Chenghua is kind of glad that he has Peerless Cucumber here to pursue this Weeper's Eye thing with some real dedication, because he keeps forgetting about it with all the other things he has to do. Also, he does not like to think too much about the secret basement, much less spend time here. His fellow transmigrator still isn't sure what plotline this item is from, but that may be because this thing was just a background detail in some wife-related plot in Proud Immortal Demon Way that neither of them, author or reader, paid much attention to in another life.
Thank you,
Xun Yuan says, then tacks on. Is something wrong?
Kind of, but isn't it always?
Zhang Chenghua answers.
Even if something isn't going wrong, things somehow still don't go right, either.
What does that mean? The confession doesn't so much as slip from Zhang Chenghua's tongue as he throws it down, sick of the weight.
I got confirmation today. I asked the system for confirmation for that confirmation, too, that Bingha has already had the big dream demon dream.
What? When?
Last week, it turns out.
Xin Yuan looks around, lost, like he's double-checking that he's not dreaming.
I saw him 2 days ago, he says finally.
He's really good at keeping up faces when he wants to be, huh? Zhang Chenghua replies, then gives his fellow transmigrator the rundown on finding out what happened through Luo Fanli. Who knows what else the Elder Dream Demon changed when he passed Ning Yingying over?
What are you going to do?
What I was always planning to do. Ah, well, what I've been planning to do for a long while now, at least. I'm going to drag him in front of his mother and hope she can smell the emotional turmoil on him, then have her crack him open so we can fix it.
Xun Yuan doesn't appear particularly impressed by this solution.
Probably because he's only met Luo Jiahui once in passing, when visiting her restaurant with other disciples, and Luo Jiahui looks so ordinary and plain to the outside eye. Pretty, Zhang Chenghua thought when he first met her, but really nothing special. Now, out of all the striking cultivators and other beauties he's met, including some beautiful potential wives, he thinks his sister-in-law is better looking and more impressive than all of them. Her face has some of his favorite features in all the world, because it belongs to her. I'm not entirely sure how he's going to take the news that he can't stay with the sect forever, and I've been consorting with demons, Xiangqing Hua admits. Who likes a betrayal, even if it's for their own good?
He's very intelligent, Shen Yuan offers.
Too intelligent, Xiangqing Hua mutters, more to himself.
Won't he understand? If you explain it properly, he'll understand. The betrayal isn't so bad. There's no good reason to hold a grudge if you explain that. It doesn't change anything between you, and that you're looking out for his future.
Shen Yuan says, but the kid really sounds like he's trying to convince himself here, too.
That's possible. That's possible. I've been doing my best to prepare for this.
This other transmigrator is clearly the only other person in the world who knows just how well Luo Bingha can hold a grudge. In this genre, not necessarily Proud Immortal Demon Way itself, even a little bit of disrespect towards the protagonist can be a killing offense. Even just not falling over at the OP protagonist's feet immediately can have fans baying for blood, or at least a severe beating for this transgression against the natural order. Xiangqing Hua doesn't expect his nephew to suddenly want him dead or anything, though. No, that's ridiculous. Totally irrational. Luo Bingha is a kind and intelligent child. Xiangqing Hua has always been impressed by his intelligence and generosity. But he's really growing up into a great young man with a good heart. Luo Jiahui did a great job. It's just that sometimes Xiangqing Hua thinks about how Luo Bingha's kindness and generosity can run out. Is his deceptively well-behaved nephew just putting up with an uncle he's growing out of now? Have the seeds of resentment already started to grow between them with distance? Sometimes Xiangqing Hua thinks about the mirror under the cloth, not so far away from him at this very moment, and the blackened, smiling emperor on the other side. And while it's one thing to be looked at like that by a stranger from another world, Xiangqing Hua doesn't know what he'll do if his own nephew comes to look at him the same way. He's afraid that even a little bit of that same expression might be too much for him. Sometimes love stops. It runs out. It turns inside out. It just does. How does a person make it not do that?
All he wants to do is make you and his mother proud, Shen Yuan insists, his voice firmer now. He's really afraid of disappointing you both, you know.
Xiangqing Hua thinks of his nephew, sincerely asking if that golden flash of power during Xia Hualing's invasion was a qi deviation. He thinks of his nephew crying in his meditation pavilion because he nearly died after trying to offer a helping hand to a Skinner demon in disguise. He glances at the Weeper's eye, glowing softly on its pedestal, and thinks of how it whispered back to him things he already knew. He sighs. Ah, you're right. Of course, bro. You're right.
Of course I am, Shen Yuan replies, standing taller. You shouldn't even need to hear this, after you lectured me about moping around, not talking to anyone, not doing any good. Luo Bingha will forgive you. After all, he hasn't fallen into the eternal abyss yet.
Haha, true. Neither of them is really up for any more testing of the Weeper's Eye today. So they spend the rest of this official meeting of the Transmigrator Club talking about test designs to process of elimination this creepy item into activation. Xiangqing Hua brings them out of the secret basement to chat in his sitting room instead. It's nicer here. He has snacks. There are no unnerving artifacts he doesn't remember collecting. After they're done, with Shen Yuan nursing a slight headache from so much spiritual sensing, and not doing a great job of hiding it again, as he's showing his fellow transmigrator out, Xiangqing Hua's heart flips in a bad way at the sight of one of Mo Bei Jun's fancy cloaks thrown over the demon lord's designated chair like a blanket. Shit! Has that been there this whole time? Luckily, Shen Yuan seems totally oblivious. All his fellow transmigrator does when he leaves is wish Xiangqing Hua luck
and awkwardly reach out to touch Shang Qinghua's shoulder. The touch is too light, and Xin Yuan pulls back quickly. It's kind of like what he imagines having a smallish bird land on his shoulder would be like. But Shang Qinghua takes the gesture as it's clearly meant. "Thanks, bro," he says. Nevertheless, Shang Qinghua finds himself dreading visiting his sister-in-law for the first time in a long time. He's sure that Luo Jiahui really is somehow going to smell the anxiety and guilt on him, and he doesn't actually enjoy lying to his sister-in-law about the son who is the love and light of her life. He really doesn't. He gets to Luo Jiahui's house by telling himself that he's going to act concerned about Xin Yuan again. His fellow transmigrator has been putting together some sort of family memorial, or something else to remember his family, since they're not actually dead. So the excuse is solid enough. Shang Qinghua doesn't intend on giving details, and Peerless Cucumber never has to know about being thrown under the bus a little here. Shang Qinghua can use this to go, it makes me worried about Bingha too, even though I know he's doing well. We should find an excuse to sneak him down here soon, just because these problems with my homesick disciples are making me miss my darling nephew so much. He's really not expecting to open the door to his sister-in-law's house and find his nephew already there. Bingha is here? How is he here? Some hurried blinking proves that Shang Qinghua isn't imagining it. His nephew is really right here in front of him. Bingha? He came for a surprise visit, Luo Jiahui announces, beaming from beside her son. He says that he didn't want to get anyone's hopes up if he didn't get permission, or if he had to cancel the visit. Ah, okay, Shang Qinghua says, coming in to greet his nephew properly. Bingha smiles widely at him. Hello, uncle. Shang Qinghua gets a warm greeting and a warmer nephew hug, but it's not enough to distract him from the fact that he's still fairly certain that his nephew isn't supposed to be here right now. Sect restrictions have only increased since Xia Hualing's invasion. Did Bingha sneak down here without permission? That seems more likely than Shen Qingqiu or even that Fuqiang woman letting him come here. Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge exchange a look that makes Shang Qinghua sure that the man wasn't the one to bring Bingha here, which is the only way Shang Qinghua would have believed Bingha could have gotten here. Ah, but if Liu Qingge also suspects that his disciple is breaking the rules to be here, he's apparently happy to let Luo Jiahui be happy for now, then to burn Luo Bingha on his misbehavior later. If the man has already told Luo Jiahui about this, she doesn't appear to mind very much. What's done is done. Dinner with Bingha after these long absences is a joyful experience, like rain after a long and hot drought, or the first warm and sunny day of spring. There's lots of laughter and smiles. Shang Qinghua can't help but cackle at some of his nephew's enthusiastic stories of his lessons on Qingjing Peak, with dramatic voices and wild hand gestures for emphasis. But he also can't help but feel like he's being treated to a charming performance so that he can be led directly into a trap. Ah, no, his sweet nephew wouldn't, right? It almost makes him think, despite everything he knows, that his little sister-in-law's weird dream was just a weird dream after all. On one hand, Bingha just seems so happy. On the other hand, Bingha just seems too happy to have been so upset. But Shang Qinghua knows. His nephew knows. After the meal is over and the washing up is done, the restful golden glow of good food, good drink, and the very best of company settles over the house. Shang Qinghua aches a little from so much smiling and laughing. This is when his cunning nephew, whose bright smile has finally started to slip a little, makes his move. Mama, I was wondering, Bingha begins casually. Yes? I was wondering about my birth parents, if you knew anything about them. Luo Jiahui's eyes widen. I know you found me floating in a river, but was there anything with me? Any belongings? Bing He presses gently. Any blankets? What did they look like? I don't remember, Luo Jiahui says slowly. I think that the blankets were simply plain. I don't think that the quality was very high. There was nothing special about them, or what you were floating on. The young protagonist looks a little disappointed. Oh, he says. His mother sends Shang Chenghua a desperate look, silently begging for assistance. And Shang Chenghua's nephew doesn't miss it. He follows his mother's gaze to look at Shang Chenghua next. Bing He doesn't say anything. He just looks. Why are you asking? Shang Chenghua wonders, as though he doesn't already know exactly. He's just a totally normal, concerned uncle here. Did something happen? I just want to know, Bing He says. Luo Jiahui looks fretfully between them, while Liu Qingge frowns beside her. Huo Hua, she says. This is as good as confirmation that Shang Chenghua knows something. It's a good thing that he's been preparing for this moment, though he's not really prepared for how, after Luo Bingha's eyes narrow slightly on his mother, his nephew looks back at him and just says, Uncle. Shang Chenghua isn't hearing the command of a future tyrant at all right now. It's just his nephew in front of him. It's just Bing He, the same person his nephew has always been, trying to be firm and mostly just looking scared. Bing He really was found in a river, Shang Chenghua says, with a little wobble in his voice, despite his best efforts. That's true. Jiahui found you in the Luochuan River when you were very, very young, and she took you in as her son. I only came to town about a year later, looking for a baby I wasn't really supposed to know had been born, but had learned about while looking into everything that had happened just before our generation became peak lords. The system gave him a secret basement of future-telling junk, so Shang Chenghua is going to use it. Not the future-telling junk, though. Holy shit, no. He's not using any of that again, no matter what the system offers as a bribe. The general concept of a basement full of broken future-telling junk. However, he's using it. Bing He leans in. And? Bing He's mother was a cultivator named Su Xian. Out of the corner of his eye, Shang Chenghua sees Liu Qingge's frown deepen, like someone telling themselves that they know that name. How do they know that name? Su Xian was the head disciple of Huanhua Palace sect, Shang Chenghua explains. Both Luo Bing He and Liu Qingge look surprised. But, Bing He's birth father was a demon known as Tian Longjun. If Bing He's eyes widen here, Liu Qingge's eyes go wider. What? Liu Qingge says. Luo Jiahui puts her hands over her husband's hands. He looks at her, staring into her pleading eyes, and then clearly forces himself to settle again. Though he does look directly at Shang Chenghua and say, hoarsely, Tian Longjun? Bing He has been watching his mother's husband carefully, but he too turns on Shang Chenghua again here. The Demon Emperor? He clarifies quietly. Yes, it's a complicated story, Shang Chenghua insists, as lightly as he can manage, full of many misunderstandings and mistakes. But Bing He's birth parents are Su Xian and Tian Longjun. Bing He is a half-demon and a heavenly demon. You knew this? All along you knew this? Bing He demands, looking between Shang Chenghua and Luo Jiahui. You knew all along that I was a demon? Your uncle only told me when you were six, Luo Jiahui says. Yeah, I knew, Shang Chenghua admits. I didn't know, Liu Qingge says, still looking bewildered. When Luo Jiahui squeezes his hands with that pleading look, he immediately says, It doesn't change anything. He's still Luo Bingha. He's still himself, whether he's human or demon or both. Luo Jiahui beams at her husband. Bingha looks a little shocked. Shang Qinghua feels a little shocked, too, though he knows he shouldn't be. Liu Qingge is, ultimately, a man who values fairness and judging someone on their own merits. Liu Qingge has also known Bingha for most of his life, behind Shang Qinghua by mere days, and the man loves the boy. Luo Jiahui wouldn't have married him if he didn't. It doesn't change anything, Liu Qingge repeats, looking directly at Luo Bingha this time, just in case the boy didn't hear him nearly shout it just now. That's how I've always felt, Luo Jiahui agrees. Bingha is Bingha. Shang Qinghua's sister-in-law pats her husband's hand, then stands to go over to her wide-eyed son and carefully wrap him up in a hug. Her eyes are teary, as they have been since her husband's first declaration. You're my son, she says wetly. If I had known from the very beginning, I still would have picked Bingha out of that river. If Bingha was all demon, I would have done the same thing. You are my son. Human or demon doesn't change how I love you. Unless you need me to love you even more for it. After a speech like that, what can the young protagonist do but cling to his loving mother? Shang Qinghua can see his nephew's eyes start to glisten, too. And then the boy is crying into his mother's shoulder and clinging to her like he never wants to let go. Luo Jiahui cries too, of course. Shang Qinghua might have to hurriedly wipe at his own eyes as well. It's okay, Luo Jiahui murmurs, rubbing her son's back. He's taller than her now, but that doesn't seem to matter to either of them. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Shang Qinghua watches them for a little while, before he realizes that Liu Qingge is, Liu Qingge is staring at him? No, the man is glaring, definitely glaring. Why is Liu Qingge glaring at him like that? You knew he was a half-demon and you let him go to Qingjing Peak? Oh, fuck, Shang Qinghua thinks. Luo Bingha and Luo Jiahui both startle. Liu Qingge gets to his feet and, wow, he looks so mad. Shang Qinghua, he barks, why? Bingha deserves some choice and freedom before having to go learn about his demon side. Shang Qinghua cries, because it's the best explanation he's been able to come up with while preparing for this confrontation. Doesn't he deserve trying to make his own way before his upbringing gets in the way? Doesn't he deserve to choose? Staying at the sect as a half-demon at any peak wouldn't work out. At least not until Bingha has mastered his demon side too. And not unless Yue Qingyuan accepts him. Liu Qingge pauses, mulling this over, and doesn't look satisfied. Shen Qingqiu won't be accepting of this, he insists. Any other peak would have been better. I didn't know it would be Qingjing Peak, Shang Qinghua lies. I wanted to let Bingha choose. Baichan would have been safer, yes, but if he wanted to make his own way? Calling Baichan Peak the safer option feels weird in any circumstance. You couldn't have told him any peak but that one? Well, what was I supposed to do after Shen Qingqiu chose him personally? What are you going to do now? His reaction will be worse now. Luo Bingha and Luo Jiahui are still holding each other, watching Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge argue with each other. Bingha looks a little faint to think of the danger he could soon be in from his own master and his martial siblings. Huo Huo has worked out a place for Bingha to go when the seal on his demon side breaks, Luo Jiahui assures her husband.
If Bingha has to leave the sect because they're not accepting, there's a demon willing to take him in and train him and teach him about his heritage. Liu Qingge's anger gives way to shock again. Luo Jiahui turns back to her son, who is also stunned. I've met him, she tells Bingha. Your uncle has known him a long time, and he promised me that he would protect you.
You know a demon?
Liu Qingge demands of Shang Qinghua.
I know a few demons, in passing, here and there, Shang Qinghua says, in a humorous tone that falls flat to his own ears.
How do you think orders for stuff from the demon realm get filled? Some demons just want to live their lives and do business. I don't ask them any questions about being demons, and they don't tell me any lies about not being demons.
Those business people aren't the demons your mother is talking about, though.
Who is this demon?
Liu Qingge insists.
You're not going to tell anyone, are you? Shang Qinghua asks. Because, I don't want Yue Qingyuan or Shen Qingqiu or anyone to know about this. They wouldn't be very accepting of this kind of thing, don't you think? Also, I don't want to put him in danger. The demon I know. Things are pretty tense right now.
Liu Qingge scowls.
He's the one who told me about the alliance between some important demon clans to attack the next Immortal Alliance conference. It puts him in a very dangerous position.
You brought him to meet Jiahui.
She insisted. I needed to meet the person proposing to look after my son and my brother.
And your brother?
Liu Qingge repeats. Luo Jiahui looks at Shang Qinghua, who feels as though he may be losing grip on reality here, just a little. He prepared for this conversation. He really did. Only it doesn't seem to have done him much good. He doesn't feel prepared at all. It almost feels as though trying to prepare actually made him less prepared.
He's in love with Huo Hua, Luo Jiahui says. He's going to be family.
Liu Qingge is rendered completely speechless, though he visibly tries to make a sound. Looking between his wife and Shang Qinghua, nothing seems to come out. Luo Bingha looks at Shang Qinghua as though expecting him to deny it, maybe, and then looks even more dazed and confused than before when Shang Qinghua doesn't deny it at all. Luo Jiahui is probably the only thing keeping the dazed protagonist upright. Liu Qingge, on the other hand, sits back down hard. Shang Qinghua really isn't the sort of person who blushes, but if he was, that's definitely what he'd be doing right now. Did his sister-in-law really have to just say it like that? It's probably important information that will make both Luo Bingha and Liu Qingge feel much better about this random demon, sure. But did she have to? Luo Jiahui sits her son down again and settles him there, then checks on her husband. And then Shang Qinghua is forced to explain himself a little.
Back when I was a disciple, I saved this demon's life. I helped him when he was lost and injured, and he's been visiting me ever since. We talk. When he found out that I have a half-demon nephew, he could tell on sight. I don't know how. He offered to take Bingha in when the seal on his demon side breaks or fades. The other part of the relationship is new.
Luo Bingha and Liu Qingge stare at Shang Qinghua like they've never seen him before. Luo Jiahui nods encouragingly.
He's not in a position to stop the attack or broker a truce or anything yet. He would probably be in a lot of danger if anyone knew that he'd warned me or that he was involved with one of the leaders of a human sect, Shang Qinghua says quickly. So as far as you know, I don't know any demons, okay? Not a single one. But he'll be able to take in and train a half-demon boy if things get bad here.
Why did he warn you?
Liu Qingge demands.
For Bingha, Shang Qinghua answers. For Bingha for me? So I could look out for my nephew when the demon clans come.
Though, he also said that if any of the rival demon lords looking to cause trouble don't expect serious resistance from a gathering of powerful cultivators anyway, that's their mistake. Liu Qingge says. Shang Qinghua is going to interpret that frown as reluctant approval. He thought that the Baichan war god would like the straightforward logic of, if people go into a battle not expecting a battle, that's not my problem. Why didn't you tell me? Bingha demands finally. When were you going to tell me? Shang Qinghua and Luo Jiahui exchange another look. Soon, Luo Jiahui insists. Your uncle thought it would be better if you didn't know. He was worried about the seal your birth mother put on you to hide your demon side. I thought that you would be happier, not having to worry about these things yet. She reaches up to cup Bingha's cheek in her hand. You were so young when I found out, and it seemed too much to put on your shoulders. I didn't want you to have to be afraid of yourself, or other people, or the future ahead of you. Before I had to be, Bingha says. Your uncle said, Huaga, you explain it, about the balance. Your demon side is very powerful, but you're also very unique as far as half-demons go. A lot of half-demons are more one or the other, or their two sides can combine in strange ways that sometimes don't work very well, Shang Qinghua explains, holding out his hands as though he can illustrate these imbalances. You seem to have gotten everything of both sides in harmony, more or less. Which meant that when your demon side inevitably came out, heavenly demons are very powerful, so it seemed like it would be better that you cultivate your human side as well as you could. We couldn't train you in your demon side, but cultivation might help you control your demonic powers later and protect you against demons with wicked intentions, as well as humans who hate all demons beyond reason when it came time for you to learn about your demon side. Where would be better than here, one of the greatest sects in the world? I'm not the most powerful cultivator out there or the best teacher, but I could keep an eye on you here at Changchong. Luo Bingha slowly tears his eyes away from Shang Qinghua, thinking deeply, with his mother's hand now resting on his chest, between his shoulder and his heart. Liu Qingge considers the situation as well. Shang Qinghua hopes that this makes sense to them. He hopes they can see how limited his and Luo Jiahui's options were. Was that the power that helped me when the demons invaded? Bingha demands. That saved me from the Skinner demon? This seal on my demon side? I'm not sure, Shang Qinghua admits. It looks that way. It's from my birth mother? Bingha presses, looking at his mother again. We think so, Luo Jiahui says slowly. Huaga? Su Xian was a very powerful cultivator and very talented with seals and talismans, Shang Qinghua agrees, a little helplessly. You've always had it, and it's obviously protecting you. I don't know who else could have done it. Su Xian's work is what allowed Huanhua Palace to seal Tianlongchun under Bailu Mountain. Why did that happen? Bingha asks. It's a complicated story. I said that already, didn't I? Well, it's true. The version of the fall of the Demon Emperor that everyone knows isn't exactly true. What is the truth? Bingha demands, his stare fixed on Shang Qinghua. Shang Qinghua takes a deep breath and explains. Su Xian was an ambitious and powerful cultivator. You don't become the head disciple of a place like Huanhua Palace if you aren't a little ruthless, you know? Somewhere along the way of things, she met Tianlongchun, who was a bit of a wanderer, and known in the demon realm for his love of human things and human stories. They kept meeting, possibly because her master ordered her to get close to the last heavenly demon and see what could be made of that. Only, Su Xian and Tian Langjun fell in love, and Su Xian became pregnant with you. And then, the Huanhua Palace master felt betrayed by this. Su Xian was imprisoned in Huanhua Palace dungeons, and Tian Langjun was accused of her kidnapping, among many other crimes, in order to bring the other great sects into helping him against this threat. Su Xian's work and relationship with Tian Langjun was used to lay a trap for the demon emperor, and of course heavenly demons don't take well to betrayals or attacks, you know? So there was a great battle between the demon emperor and the great sects. At the previous sect leader's command, Yue Qingyuan fought against Tian Langjun personally, and Tian Langjun was sealed under the mountain. But not dead? Shang Qinghua shrugs slightly, wishing that he knew for certain. It's unclear. Heavenly demons are very powerful. Many people are convinced that he's dead, but it's possible that he's still alive in some way. So he was attacked and imprisoned for something he didn't do? Well, some of the things he was accused of, he may have done in some way or another, being a demon emperor. Though it's very likely the true stories got twisted to paint him in the worst possible light. I really don't know. But the kidnapping and death of Su Xian? No. No, he didn't do that. Luo Bingha's brow is furrowed in anger, his hands trembling helplessly. Has anyone tried to talk to him to see if he's really dead? No one wants to risk freeing him. After his betrayal and unjust imprisonment, he may not want to talk or hear any apologies, Shang Qinghua says helplessly. As far as the sects are concerned, he was too dangerous and had to be destroyed, whether or not he was innocent of at least one of the crimes they had laid against him. After so many years of imprisonment, he's likely gone mad with resentment, Liu Qingge says with a deep frown. Then Su Xian, Binghe demands desperately. What about Su Xian? Su Xian escaped Huanhua Palace's dungeons, knowing that her baby wouldn't survive if she didn't, but at the cost of her own life, Shang Qinghua says. This was only a story to him before, just a background explanation, but his heart aches to see the pain on his nephew's face now. She was too late to help Tian Langjun. She gave birth to you, put a seal on you to protect you, and then she died, leaving you to drift in the Luochuan River for someone to find. Binghe stares at Shang Qinghua, like the sad story will maybe change if he just wishes hard enough. His birth parents are both dead, or as good as dead. They were torn apart and both unjustly betrayed. This story happened a long time ago, even if it's new to him. It's already over. Nothing can be done to change it now. How do you know this? Liu Qingge asks. Why you?
I was looking into the true story, by looking into the future and by looking into the past using special artifacts,
Shang Qinghua answers hesitantly.
I shouldn't have been doing it, maybe, but I did. By the time I was in a position to do anything about it, any of it, it was too late. The only thing to do was look for the child.
He looks at the protagonist again.
That's how I met Jia Hui, he says. And Binghe.
Luo Jia Hui would clearly like to hold on to her son and never let go, or at least keep him for the night, so she can keep telling him how much she loves him and will always love him. Liu Qingge clearly wants to keep grilling Shang Qinghua on his plans and what he knows until late into the night, though his priority is also making it clear to Luo Binghe that being human or demon doesn't matter to him. But when someone makes a passing comment about the time, Luo Bingha's face twists into slight panic, and he admits that he's not supposed to be here right now. He left Qingjing Peak and Tangchong Mountain Sect without permission.
My Shuxiang is covering for me, Bingha admits, not really surprising anyone here. He didn't want to, but I told him I was coming to visit my mother to make sure I wasn't going to die of some family curse due to the golden flash of the seals. I kind of forced it. Ming Shuxiang might explode with worry if I don't get back before everyone else wakes up. And then Shizun is probably going to find out that I left again.
The prospect of Shen Qingqiu's wrath here is enough to convince everyone that Luo Bingha has to go back to this sect for now. Shang Qinghua can, and he will, lie to his Shuxiang's face about this. But it's probably better if the man doesn't get even a little more reason to be incredibly suspicious of Shang Qinghua's actions. They have a lot to talk about still, but most of it can wait. Luo Jiahui asks Shang Qinghua to take Luo Bingha back to the sect and asks her husband to stay behind so they can talk. Shang Qinghua can definitely expect Liu Qingge cornering him about this all sometime soon. Probably tomorrow. First thing in the morning, Shang Qinghua can expect his door being kicked in by an overprotective war god with lots of really uncomfortable and really direct questions about what happens next. But he's relieved for the temporary break. He'll take it. Shang Qinghua is more than happy to let his sister-in-law fight this battle and soften the man up for him. After an extended goodbye, including a fierce hug from Liu Qingge, Luo Bingha reluctantly pulls himself out of his mother's sticky arms. He and Shang Qinghua set off back towards the sect to sneak Bingha back to Qingjing Peak. The way is familiar, even though the path is dark.
I remember a demon, Bingha says.
Ah, do you?
When we went looking for Auntie, and we found her in an inn full of demons, after we escaped, and the demons in white came looking for us, I remember the other demon that appeared. The tall and dark and cold one, Bingha says, his eyes going distant with memory. The one you said you knew from the sect, but had to keep secret. Is that your demon?
You really remember that? Shang Qinghua says weakly.
I wasn't that young, uncle.
I guess you weren't. Yes, that's him.
And you love him?
I've known him for a very long time. Even in the dark, Shang Qinghua can see his nephew's expression, communicating that this isn't an acceptable answer. That's not informative enough, huh? Too confusing? As though in love isn't confusing by itself? It still sounds so strange.
Yes, Shang Qinghua admits. Is he why you came looking for me?
No.
Why did you come looking for me? Did you know my parents?
No, I didn't. I didn't know either of them, really. I was the head disciple of An Ding when it all happened, but I wasn't involved in the battle or anything. I was, this might not sound good, but I was curious, Shang Qinghua says. I wanted to see this baby, see you after all the trouble that had just happened with your birth parents. A heavenly demon child would definitely grow up to face a lot of problems.
Bingha swallows this, looking aside.
Your mother was in a bad position, and so were you, Shang Qinghua confesses. And I could do something to help this time. I couldn't do anything about everything before that, but if your mother was going to selflessly take you in and look after you even though her life was already hard, then I could at least give your mother a better life.
Bingha remains silent.
I didn't mean to become your uncle. I thought that I could offer your mother some help. I would say she was my younger brother's widow, and that's why I was helping. And then that she'd want me to leave her and the baby alone.
Really? I didn't know your mother yet. We were total strangers. I didn't expect her to keep inviting me to keep visiting. To keep inviting me to really be your uncle and be her brother-in-law. I didn't think that I liked babies very much before that, but I liked you. And even though you screamed in my ear when I flew you and your mother out of that shitty town, I didn't get along with my own family, but I liked your mother. She needed me, and it turns out that I really needed her, too. Shang Cheng Hua was never supposed to know Luo Jiahui. In the system's ideal world, they were never supposed to meet, much less help each other. Jiahui is supposed to be dead. Fan Li is supposed to be gone, too. They've just passed Liu Qingge's destiny of passing away as part of the background. Their little family was never meant to exist. I'm the one who convinced your mother not to tell you that you were part demon, Shang Cheng Hua says. So, the person to be mad at for that is me, not her. I thought you would be safer if you didn't know. Will knowing make the seals break or fade faster? I don't know. I don't know what these golden flashes are, either. They're not supposed to happen, but, maybe. I haven't wanted to break them accidentally, but I think the most likely thing to break them is a fight with a powerful demon or a demonic beast. Shang Qinghua looks over his nephew's earnest face, stopping them on the deserted mountainside path, even though he can't see the seals. I don't think there's a lot of time left before something happens. A couple of years, maybe. And when it does? Bingha asks nervously. You'll probably be safer in the demon realm than here. You'll need to learn to control your powers, and, none of us here can help you with that. So you asked a demon to take me in? Bingha says. More of a statement than a question. Shang Qinghua's nephew looks more thoughtful than angry, his brows furrowed in confusion at everything he's learned tonight. I did. I wish this world was better than it is for you, Shang Qinghua admits helplessly. I wish this world was better than it is for all of us, but it's not. People don't work that way. Humans and demons both. For all the good people in this world, there are people making selfish choices. It's going to be hard for all of us, no matter what happens. I wish that I could have fixed the world for you before you grew up. I really do, but I can't. One person trying to fix the whole world all at once would probably just break it even more. Worlds are really much more complicated than any one person can manage on their own, you know? Shang Qinghua is drifting too close to another lifetime, so he pulls himself back. The point is that I don't know what's going to happen, but all the choices I'm making, I hope you don't hate them too much. I hope they're good. The choices I'm making are to try to do better than the way things might have gone otherwise. I chose to be your uncle, like your mother chose to be your mother. And that choice was the best choice I've ever made. Bing's eyes are wet again. If everyone finds out, then there's going to be trouble, Shang Qinghua admits. I've always known that, even when I'm trying not to think too much about it. I know that. I can't ever not know that. I've known from the very beginning that you were a half-demon, but this isn't a choice that I made once and then got stuck in forever. Shang Qinghua reaches out to take his nephew's shoulder. Every time I come down the mountain to visit my sister-in-law, I'm choosing to be there, he says hoarsely, feeling his own eyes burn. Every time your mother makes a place for me at her table, it's not because we share any official connection, but because she chose me, too. When I nearly chose to stay away because I thought she was just humoring me for helping her, she chose to come find me and tell me off. When she needed help, even when it was dangerous, I chose to be there for her and try to do impossible things for her. Do you think that your mother chose to love her husband because he always makes things easier for her? Do you think I chose to be with a demon because it was easy?
Bingha's next breath turns into a wet, sputtering laugh.
Hard times make the choices harder, it's true. But my life would... It would have been a lot emptier if I'd kept on making choices because they were easy. So much emptier. Like living in a world without touching it at all,
Zhang Qinghua says, nearly shuddering at the memory.
It wasn't good. Every time things were confusing or hurtful or frightening or hard in any way, even when it was one of us who was making things hard, we chose to stay together. None of this was meant to happen. None of us expected this to happen. But we chose to make it happen anyway. And we chose you too.
Why?
Because you're our son, Zhang Qinghua tells him, gripping his shoulders tightly. Because you were a child who needed us. Because you didn't ask for the world to be this way. Because you're brave and kind and clever and have a good heart. And you don't deserve to lose it. Because our lives have been so much better than they would have been without you.
Bingha sobs, hands brushing over tears that just keep coming.
I know it doesn't always make sense why people choose you, when it feels like you're only dragging them down. It feels like they're only doing it because they feel like they have to choose you. Your mother knows. I know,
Zhang Qinghua promises.
I know. I know. But of all the things that don't make any sense in this world, I'm just going to be so glad that this one exists too. Human or demon, it matters. It's going to matter a lot. It's going to change a lot. We're all going to make some mistakes and things are going to be hard. But we're going to make our choices anyway because we want to make them.
With that, he brings Bingha into his arms and holds him tightly. Bingha holds him, too.
Zhang Qinghua doesn't know that there's anything Bingha could do at this point to make their feelings stop. It would just hurt very much.
When it comes time to keep going, to sneak back into the sect, to put the troubles brought on by these choices Zhang Qinghua has made off for a little while longer, they let go of each other. After about another dozen steps along the dark path, however, Luo Bingha slips his hand into Zhang Qinghua's again, like he used to do so often as a small child. Now, Zhang Qinghua can't actually remember the last time they held hands. Luo Bingha's hand is as big as Zhang Qinghua's hand these days, warm and strong. As Zhang Qinghua silently interlaces their fingers and leads him up the mountain, the night air cool against their wet faces.